Hello, everybody. My name is Pancakes, and welcome to this brand new episode of Media Buffet. Today, I am joined by a very surprising guest, if I do say so myself. The first episode of this person with Media Buffet in almost 2 years. Please welcome to the stage once again, Señor Oates.
Hello, everybody. Hey. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting because we today are giving the final chapter to a very long overdue finished saga of episodes that we've covered within this podcast relating to the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime series produced by David Production. And today we will cover in full the final story arc of the 6-part series, Stone Ocean.
Saddening, I have to say.
My legacy. There are, of course, other parts within the JoJo franchise, as many fans know. But as of late, this is the last part they animated. And it's technically the last part in general of this of the main story arc before the franchise delves into alternate universes. So, yeah. Let's start with this. Señor Oates. Could you give me a couple of your favorite moments from the series and how they impacted you?
I have to say, when I first saw Jotaro once again, when I first saw him, he was nice, a familiar feature, I have to say. I really like the stand battles. I really like the one where I forgot the stand name. I think it was Planet Waves, was it? Yeah. Where Jolene was fighting in this prison complexion, and there was this red dragon, green dragon, which his powers were based on fortune, I suppose. But anyways, that was mostly Foo Fighters fight. But the one with Jolene, with Planet Waves, he basically sent meteors from space hurtling towards her. That's insane, I have to say. But I have. I also like all the fights that involve Weather Report, just all of them. Weather Report is, if not, one of the best scripted and well-written characters in Part 6, in my opinion. He's really nice, I have to say, from his little hat, from his clothes, even from his stand, although his story, as we all know, it's shady, but still. And I like the last part where fight, although it was sad, but it gave us closure, that's for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on some parts of that, and yeah, I do believe that Weather Report is one of, if not the best written character in the entire series, because not only do we get a lot of depth regarding his origins, but also Weather Report in general, he's actually a very interesting character. Like, we know nothing about him from the start, and that sets him up to be a figure of mystery. And as we delve more and more into his life, into his personality, then we get to know the real motives behind his actions. And once that arc finishes with severe weather warning, or whatever the arc was called, I think it was
heavy weather forecast.
It was actually one of the most brilliant story arcs, in my opinion, that JoJo has ever devised. And that's why I hold very high regard for Weather Report and his story arc. I mean, it was blended in so perfectly with the villain and everything. It was just nice. Also, we forgot to mention, but it should be common knowledge, for anyone who hasn't watched the anime series, there are a lot of spoilers ahead, so if you would much rather not head into that, then just don't be in the episode. Like, go check out one of our other episodes, check out the other 5 episodes we covered, and yeah, there's that. I do realize that we have a different dynamic to other episodes. In the other episodes, I believe we went on episode through episode, and we delved into what we liked about each one, But this time around, and since the closure of the Naruto series, I just wanted to give it a very general sense to have another part within the episode. So yeah, continue on. Senior Oates, is there any other thing that you might have liked about the series?
I liked when... Okay, I have to say one of the, if not the most confusing fights was Bohemian Rhapsody. At first, before I even watched part 6, I was like, what a peculiar character, like, actually brings up characters from fictional, you know, stories. And I was actually really intrigued to see, hey, would they actually bring Spider-Man? Since there was, like, in the manga, it was notorious for that one Spider-Man scene, but they didn't. I think they instead brought Batman, right? I think so, yeah. They brought Batman, and they brought a... I don't know, some big choice was the rabbit. They also brought some classical characters like Pinocchio, the Seven, the Wolf, did I forget Red Riding Hood? It was not one of my favorite fights, but it was a really intriguing one. One scene and one arc that had me really off my seat was definitely the one. The heavy weather forecast, which everyone started to turn into slugs. That was really interesting because you actually could see how there's no limitation to Weather Report's character. This is how this character was really OP. I feel like if they haven't killed off Weather Report that quickly, I think the actual final fight in the Kennedy Space Center would have finished really quickly. Speaking of Kennedy Space Center, I really like the way which they actually brought realism. Like, hello, Kennedy Space Center turned sideways. Of course, they're gonna bring like the entire Navy, the entire U.S. Army, or something. You know, like they kept a bit of touch of realism. But of course, it's not realism. You know, when they, but you know what I mean. But yeah, and that fight scene was also like off my seat. They also brought like this theory. It was the the one where the infinite loop Jolene used it to heal herself. It was really amazing. It was really intrigued.
Something made in that, heaven?
No. It's like when Pucci actually wounded Jolene and he left a hole in her chest. She used her strings to heal herself. And I do not know what theory was it, but it was like an infinite eight loop. Of Made in Heaven, that one also was like off my seat because it was really like a game of cat and mouse. Pucci was chasing them with Made in Heaven, and you actually felt the desperation within the characters, especially when Jotaro is supposed to be the calm and fit character, but when he threw the spear at Pucci and Pucci deflected it, although he didn't did see it, you could have seen his worry in his eyes, and that's true. And one of the things that's kind of disappointing me in the end, I know that the studio didn't have the copyright claims for it, but I would have loved to see in the end where they would have played it's a song about Louis Armstrong. What a Wonderful World. I would have liked to see. I would have liked to see the ending with that song.
Honestly, I was secretly hoping that they would do that too, but yeah, that was actually more of a romanticized ending that the fans imposed on the actual. Series, but I mean, it kind of made sense that they ended it with Roundabout because it was the same way that they started it with. They literally made a Roundabout, but yeah. I feel like they encapsulated it pretty well. Could there have been like a couple other things that could have been worked better within the series? Yeah, I mean, initially, some of the animation errors were actually very not the animation errors, but the use of CGI in certain parts of the series, such as, for example, with the frogs and with Pucci's, how do I put it? Forgot the stand name. Whitesnake.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but also I was just in the CGI. Also in the fight with Jumping Jack Flash, it was also a bit eerie. That's for sure.
Yeah, the use of CGI for those, I mean, it was well intentioned, but I don't know if it was the best option because it looked kind of weird, especially when Whitesnake was jumping around during the introductory weather report arc where the frog started raining, and during the Jumping Jack Flash arc too. There were other moments throughout the series, but I don't remember which one specifically. I do remember they toned it down quite a bit after the initial release of episodes, but yeah, I'm glad they did. Overall, I didn't find any fatal flaws within the story writing. Of course, there are a bajillion differences. They changed around the order of a couple of scenes, but if it was for the better, then it was for the better. I believe they... Did they omit a... They might have skipped a couple of things, but nothing that I believe is that the series as a whole. But yeah, overall, I checked what you said about the copyright, and I don't know if I said this in a previous episode, but yeah, basically, we established that Araki made mention of multiple copyrighted characters in the Bohemian Rhapsody story arc. Mickey Mouse was mentioned, Spider-Man was mentioned, a lot of superheroes in general were mentioned, and they did this in the initial arc where Hermes mentioned Mickey Mouse in that one trivia segment, and they did this in the Bohemian Rhapsody arc, but they replaced the copyrighted characters that belong to Disney with Warner Brothers characters, since the series was co-produced by Warner Brothers Japan. They took the opportunity to replace the characters with their own intellectual properties. It was handled pretty well because they didn't have to use some random localized name. For example, Mortimer Mouse or Michael Mouse. Some random stuff like that. Or Sticky Man. Like,
it's Arachnid Guy.
Arachnid Guy. They didn't use any localized name and they went with their own original IPs, which also makes sense because that's the point of mentioning them. Like, to express the magnitude of Bohemian Rhapsody's you have to mention popular characters that people are going to know. And they replaced Mickey Mouse with Bugs Bunny, which is reasonable. And they replaced Spider-Man with Batman. I just checked it within the episode. That's what they did. And yeah, the others, such as Pinocchio and the Goats and Stones segments, they kept it in because those are more folklore focused and not Disney focused. Yes, Disney has versions of some of them, such as the Pinocchio character, but Araki made sure to use the folklore versions. And there's most that.
Most of the Brothers Grimm versions, because mostly the stories that Disney takes, like the Snow White, Little Red Riding Hood, and Pinocchio, are mostly part of the Brothers Grimm saga. So I guess Araki
didn't have a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I also like how they added Vincent Van Gogh. Although he's not a fictional character, it was a nice addition to him, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But also, también, the stands. If I have to say, the stands in Part 6 are, though, limited. They're not a lot of stands. They're still pretty good. They're still pretty good, I have to say.
I mean, what can I tell you? In all honesty, I believe that the Part 6 stands are actually some of the most unique because we actually diverted from the Part 5 approach from more man-focused stands into more object-related stands. For example, One of the first stands, I believe, is... Oh, Jesus Christ. I am way in and out of my head. Like, I do not remember at all, like, any of the stands. Hold on. Let me look them up because it's been a long time. And... Yeah, I'm just gonna look for the... Yeah. So one of the first stands is actually Savage Garden. Actually, that's a pigeon. No.
No, that's a character.
Yeah, it's a character. That's the pigeon character from like the initial story arc.
It's actually...
There you go. Okay, my bad. I was looking for the stands. So, as I was saying, that's kind of what's
not a lot of other parts do that.
For example, what's the hold on, back there. You hear me?
Yeah, a bit.
For example, Underworld. I mean, Underworld is like that one. Underworld is the one band that causes the victims to face illusion worlds and not actually have any
memories.
Yeah, based on memories. Fun fact, we also just early. I think it's Deja Vu that I keep seeing these episodes, and I don't know if we actually recorded them or not. But no. Basically, there was a similarity between the underworld arc, and a real life accident. And yeah, I just want to take that into consideration real quick. So, yeah
it wasn't
basically.
After this episode, I'm starting to interrupt, but after watching the Underworld arc, I started doing my miscellaneous research to say, hold on, this couldn't be a 9/11 reference. It's not. But I just did some deep searching, and in one random Reddit link, I actually found that it was a plane crash. I don't remember the exact numbers and dates, but yeah.
Yeah, basically, it's a plane crash that very similarly lines up with the plane crash detailed in Stone Ocean. And keep in mind that Stone Ocean was written in 1999. So, basically, in the anime and the manga, I'm pretty sure it doesn't differ between the two, but it says in... Yeah. Okay, so it said in the anime that on July 20th or 21st on 2005, that a plane crashed from in Florida en route from London to Dallas. And basically the anime says that it was flight 2882 and that there were two survivors, and they don't mention the airline, but there's a very similar case. Flight
2882.
Wait. I keep cutting out. Hold on. Yeah, where an AN-24 plane crashed in Florida, and it happened on the same month and the same year, but 5 days earlier, July 16th. And there were two survivors of the crash, exactly like in the anime.
Whoa.
So it's two... Yeah, both happened in Florida, and both had two survivors in July 2005. And it's kind of similar, kind of creepy, because Araki wrote this 6 years in advance. But yeah, there's that. What can I tell you? But aside from that, yeah.
It is eerie, that's half to say, yeah. But I have to say, digging in deep with the stands, I'd like to put a little bit of emphasis on Sky High. Sky High is a really interesting character, because the guy can basically summon rods, colonies of rods. And these rods are mostly in American folklore and American cryptology, I suppose. But these rods are like supposed to be real beings. It's like alien-like. It's actually really interesting how they just target. I think they use it's been a while since I've watched this, but I think they use thermal heat. They use heat to track. It's actually really interesting. And I really like the frog thingy he has on his wrist to control them. It's really cute. It's really nice. But I have to say, like, it's not the most eeriest stands. People might say, oh, the most eeriest are probably Limp Bizkit or Goo Goo Dolls. But in my opinion, the most eerie stand of all is Jailhouse Rock. Because the abnormal shape of it, it's bad. It's scary. And it makes you forget stuff. It makes you forget stuff, and it's actually kind of scary. Because Jolene had, I remember in the episode, she had to write all around herself to try not to forget about her, like, common task, what she needs to do, and it's scary, but not as scary as Marlon Manson, because Stan actually just makes you pay a debt. And in any other way, that Stan will get its debt, and it's actually really scary, because if you owe Mirashan, which is the Stan user, you might owe her like 100k, and she says, oh, let's fix that, and she just grabs two of my kidneys, and she just like wanders off. That is scary.
I believe you are slightly confused. There are actually two separate characters that have separate abilities. Are you talking about Mirashan or Mew Mew?
No, Mirashan, yeah.
Because Jailhouse Locke's stand user is Mew Mew. Mirashan's stand is Marilyn Manson.
Wait, no. Jailhouse Locke's is Musha Mueller. Mew Mew. It's just her. No, I meant two characters. Sorry if I meant that as one, but no, they're two characters.
The stand that actually has you interchange items in order to fix your debt is Debt Collector Marilyn Manson. Jailhouse Locke is Mishula Mueller's stand, and
which makes you forget stuff.
Exactly.
I'm well aware of that, yeah. A really interesting stand I have to point out is Green Green Grass at Home, which actually shrinks you. And, like, correct me if I'm wrong, the stand is that if you get close to the Green Baby,
Green Green Grass at Home with the stand. The Green Baby is a stand user. Oh my god, the baby is a stand user.
The baby. But yeah, that character, I'm sorry, but it was kind of annoying. It was annoying. I don't know. That's me. It was annoying. I don't know, it was a baby. I don't know if it's the way it acted. I don't know if it's the stand. But I dislike the character. I don't know.
To me, the Green Baby arc kind of felt like filler, but it was necessary. But it was necessary to go into the Sea Moon arc, so yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, one is not the most. They probably seem like, oh, non-harmful stands, but at the end, if they are known how to be used, they're scary. It has to be Dragon's Dream and Yo-Yo Ma. Yo-Yo Ma users DNG, and Dragon's Dream user Kenzo.
I believe, to me, the deadly stands, and that is because the user actually knew how to control them. And to me, the deadliest stands within the series were Weather Report, Dragon's Dream, and the standard ones of like Star Platinum, Kiss, and all that. But yeah, to me, Weather Report and Dragon's Dream were the deadliest stands.
They were. They really were.
I mean, all stands are deadly at one point or another because the characters have to get through them in order to, like, go on with the story. But, yeah.
Something that I liked about Dragon's Dream is that it has its own voice and its own personality aside from Kenzo. So that's actually really interesting.
Yeah. Like, a lot of stands are technically sentient. For example, Koichi's Echoes actually is technically sentient. The same goes for Dragon's Dream. And it's kind of interesting because you show the different personalities between them, and it goes to show that not only are stands a reflection of their own user, but they also show their changes as people through these stands. And I believe that's also very interesting. Other than that, I was going to discuss something right now. Oh, yeah. I remember a thing they cut from the actual anime. When Hermes and Jolene were teaching Foo Fighters how to be human and how to live normally in Etro's body, basically, they had a scene in the recreational area of the prison where they were playing catch. They were throwing a baseball around. And they saw Foo Fighters' Goofy throwing form because he didn't know how to use the body yet. So, in the manga, Jolene or Hermes, one of the two, makes a comment stating that Foo Fighters froze like a queer. And that's a straight quote from the manga. In the anime, they did like the same line, but they did the prelude to it. Like, what is your throwing form? Yeah, you throw weird or something like that. They did not include the queer part. I believe that it was to save face against the different times that we face currently. Remember, this was written in the 90s, but yeah.
I know this is not part of the JoJo, but as you, that common queer was definitely present in the part 7 manga, Steel Ball Run.
Definitely.
Really funny, but yeah, that scene was really funny, but it's part 7 and we're not covering that yet. But yeah, I really like how Dragon's Dream also discussed Feng Shui. I don't know the full concept of it, but it has to do with luck.
What are you talking about?
About Dragon's Dream Stan? He uses Feng Shui.
Yeah, Feng Shui is an actual philosophy that dictates that in the way that you place furniture or other things around your house, or the way that you direct energy, depending on which direction, can actually manifest your destiny within life. And that is a doctrine that the character utilizes a lot in the arc. And that's another thing. JoJo in general is very educational because that's how I learned about the golden ratio by reading part 7. And
yeah,
in fun fact, in part 4, it was actually a scene where Kira uses like moderate geometry to actually calculate how much he needed to do and how big did his punch need to be in order to reach the protagonist. And it was like one of those corny anime moments, but hey, they animated it and made it into like one of the fighting animations in All-Star Brawl, I think, if not the other game. But yeah, what can I say? They're just was goofy like that.
Yeah, they are. I want to discuss on Yo-Yo-Ma. Yo-Yo-Ma is a scary man, or a scary stand, if you have to say. Basically, it's anything. it's automatically sentient. It also falls in that category. But it's creepy, because, correct me if I'm wrong, it just eats and releases like a sort of bad smell, and you have like acidic saliva. They're just weird at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's weird. It's definitely weird.
Yeah. And I have to say, he was one, if not the most annoying character. I'm sorry, but
he was.
And the way he had like a weird feeling about him, but everyone just kept brushing off, like, oh, no, we're an Asui. It's just you being you, I guess. And an Asui said, oh, look. And that stuff happened. But it's scary, you know. Like, and you have to keep facing it, or know if, like, you turn its back, it might just spit on you, and it might just dissolve you with saliva. That is really eerie. That is really eerie.
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah, I know that his dynamics, his personality within the series could be seen as problematic nowadays, but hey, like I said, times change, and even though it's morally wrong to act like that nowadays, it wasn't as severe back then. So, yeah. So yeah,
our stands are actually all of them, like a wide array. It's really, they're, you know, beautiful in their own sort of way. From their design, their colors, their shapes, it was nice. From the strongest, like Planet Waves and Dragon's Dream, to the weakest, such as Survivor and Highway to Hell. All stands share a unique platform in part 6.
For me, one of the largest running jokes within the anime was whether or not they would include the Dio and Poochie sex scene. Even though I'm not interested in that kind of stuff, it was something that intrigued me, because at the time I was very active in Reddit, and yeah, I was wondering whether or not they would include the scene where Dio and Poochie are discussing the Mona Lisa while in bed, implying that they had sex together. And yeah, they included it in the actual anime. And when I saw that, I shouted out of the top of my lungs, because yeah, the joke fulfilled itself. And I just remember that from watching the series. It was really funny.
Oh. Oh damn, yeah. I keep forgetting. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and they also, thank goodness the animators didn't draw this, but in the original manga, the KKK was very present in Poochie and...
Oh yeah, I remember. It was actually very present in the arc with Weather Report, and they did all that.
They dodged the bullet not drawing the KKK.
What can I tell you?
They drew them as white extremists, I suppose, as an angry mob. So that would have been a crazy sight. That's for sure.
What can I say?
Yeah. Also, yeah, the stands are pretty nice. Manhattan transfer with the white suspicious room, with white suspicious goo.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, the white suspicious goo. What about it?
Wow, like it was starting the episode. It wasn't even the start of the actual series, and we got to see John Galley A with a dot, but booty naked in the shower. And dude, I don't know, like, I think he's a guard or a prisoner. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, I remember that. I feel like a lot of Yeah, I feel like a lot of JoJo scenes are really out of pocket. Like, JoJo's one of the most out of pocket series of all time. You can just show someone that John Gallier scene and they'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I mean, like, trust me, bro. It's part of the plot. It's part of the plot.
Yeah. Seeing John Gallier butt booty naked before actually heading to do his job is very crucial to the plot.
I mean, I think he was monologuing at the end of the day. Like, he was, like, stating his own plans. So, yeah, it was crucial to the plot, I suppose. But, yet again, I'm not sure if he was actually monologuing or not. But, let's talk about Seamus.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He's just scary. Like,
that reminded me of two... also naked scenes, the Hayato bath scene from part 4 and the end scene when Emporio's in space when he's naked. Yeah.
Oh, and also like the part 3 scene where Polnareff, when Polnareff was turned into a little kid.
Oh yeah, me too. Oh my god.
They actually went their way in animated scene. Like, I was shook. I was
I'm still out of words.
Well, so you're also, you have to remember that this series originally aired on Adult Swim and is not intended for young audiences at all. Like, there is a very high amount of violence and language in this series that is not intended for young audiences at all. So no. By no means did it get so.
This is an actual vivid memory, but I remember just skimming through Adult Swim, through the channels, and then along with Adult Swim, and I saw that they were playing JoJo Part 5. That was when it was newly released, like a couple of months. It was... Damn. And I remember just seeing Bucciarati there. I remember. It was good times. But it's kind of sad that they're not airing Stone Ocean anymore instead. Tsunami. And not only JoJo's, like, they're not replaying JoJo's in Tsunami. There. Are they putting JoJo in Tsunami?
I don't know. But yeah, overall, Stone Ocean, really great part. And overall, a great closure to the JoJo main timeline. Let's just hope that they can continue making great JoJo parts, and if they decide to continue animating for parts 7 and 8, and let's hope.
I just hope that part 7 is amazing. If it was that amazing on paper, I would love to see it as amazing. Although I read the manga online, I'm actually planning on buying the paper, you know, the actual copy. It was just that good. I just want to see it in my room and say, hey, I read that. And it's amazing, but yeah. I just wish they get to animate it. I just wish we get to see the actual animations, like the golden ratio, the horse animations, D4C.
I mean, to me, like, yeah. The CGI they used initially for Stone Ocean, they can use the CGI for the horses in Seoul Run, because there are a lot of horses, and I heard that horses are tough to animate in Japanese traditional animation. So, yeah.
I mean, yet again,
if it's a feasible alternative and they can make it look good, they can. I'm pretty sure. Like, using CGI for the horses is understandable. I mean, hello. Horses using CGI, like, they've done pretty well before. I'm pretty sure Disney's Wish has some great horse animation, as well as Tangled, but yeah.
I mean, we're seeing the most obvious... I mean, they could see an example in Attack on Titan. In Attack on Titan, because the Attack on Titan horses are actually well animated and well drawn. So they could just take inspiration of that.
Yeah, but like, MAPPA's workers are severely overworked, and I believe that that was just a product of mass starvation instead of actually taking the time to animate.
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, they could hire freelance MAPPA studio workers, but I guess that's not very common in the studio game, so I don't think it's a viable option, but yeah. It was a wild ride, I have to say, as I was watching Stone Ocean. Of course, there wasn't JoJo Fridays, no new episodes of Fridays, and we have to wait almost half a year for every 12 batches. But yeah.
I mean, JoJo Fridays technically existed in Japan because Japanese TV actually aired them. But technically, everywhere in the world you could see them in Netflix, so yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think they could have done the Netflix, like how Netflix releases every episode, every, I don't know, Thursdays or every Mondays. They could have done that with JoJo, but that would have been hard. But yeah.
I believe that that is all that to discuss within this part, and that being said, within this series, until David Production decides to animate part 7 or 8. So, Nana, I'm glad that you could join us today. Your oats, and yeah, say your goodbyes, I guess.
Goodbye, gang. It was a nice road since episode 1. No, since we all started this JoJo series and the JoJo ranking. It was nice. And I'm actually kind of content to end it. Although it was unexpected and although it was a really long hiatus, that's for sure. But at least we closed this chapter and we wait until we can open it again with Steel Ball Run.
So Nana, thank you again, Senior Oates, for participating, and we'll see y'all in the next one. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.